Well, I'd like to share some scriptures this morning. I'd like to look in the book of Nehemiah in the first chapter. And I'll start reading at the first verse. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hachaliah. And it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Now this is Nehemiah's prayer. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So a cupbearer was someone that bore the drinks to the king. He wanted to drink, the cupbearer was there to serve them, and they had to be fully trustworthy. Because we know in history that there were a lot of kings that were poisoned, that weren't liked. And many times if they didn't trust the cupbearer, they'd have the cupbearer taste the drink before they drank it to make sure it was okay. But Nehemiah had gained this king's confidence and trust. He was a faithful man. He's in Shushan the palace. That's the king of the winter lodging of the kings of the Medes and Persians. And he has brethren that come from Judah, and he asked how they're doing. And he said they're in great affliction and great reproach. And Nehemiah began to pray and seek God concerning this need. Now, in the first verse, it talked about the month Chislu, which corresponds with our November, December. And then also we hear in verse 1 of chapter 2, the month Nisan, which corresponds with our March and April. So that gives us approximately 4 months from the time that Nehemiah heard what was happening at Judah and in Jerusalem. 4 months has transpired. He has been praying. He has been seeking God. He has been fasting. He has been asking, repenting. 4 months he is looking to God. And I want to title this little thought this morning, Vision Born. Because that is exactly what happened in this 4 months. He is praying, he's seeking God. First of all, he sees a need. He hears a need and he sees a need. And it touches him because this is his people. This is where he came from. And in that place he refers to the king, he's talking to the king, he says, it's the place of my father's sepulchres, where his fathers were buried, where his people were. And it touches his heart, and he is praying and he is seeking God during this time. Just as a side note, I want to add, you know, he said, we have dealt, in verse 7, we have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments. Adam Clark refers to the commandments as the moral precepts by which our lives should be regulated. In the Old Testament, you'll read that over and over. There's the commandments, there's the statutes, and there's the judgments. The commandments refer to the moral judgments. And I know today that we're not under the... Well, we are. The Ten Commandments were under the moral, but Jesus has raised the standard of moral law higher than what the law had it. Jesus in the New Testament, and that's what we're under, but He raised the standard. He raised from what they had under the law. Now the statutes refers to the rites and the ceremonies of religion. The rites and ceremonies of religion, the statutes. And the judgments, he said, are the precepts of justice relative to our conduct to each other. He said, we have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments. In other words, they weren't keeping the moral precepts. They weren't keeping up the worship of God as they should have. And then the judgments that came because of bad behavior, they weren't keeping that up either. It was like they became lawless and chaotic. And history bears out that it was a very wicked, very evil society and place because they had forsaken God, they had forsaken the commandments that regulate our life, they had forsaken the worship of God and the judgments of God. In one place it talked about judgment laid in the streets, like dead. There was no judgment. There was no consequences given. There was just a free reign. How would you like to live in that kind of world where there was no justice, no judgment? I I wouldn't want to be there. But he is confessing their sin. And through this, he sees a need. He's praying and he's seeking God. He's confessing his sin. And I believe these 4 months are very valuable. On the surface, it doesn't look like anything is happening. But there's something really happening that's not being seen. Something is happening inside of Nehemiah. And with God, his relationship with God, that's not being observed by everyone around him. And I believe it was this time, and we know Moses, when Moses, God called Moses to go visit the children of Israel. Number one, Moses was 80 years old. And then he had excuses. I'm not able to go. Now, it doesn't mention that in Nehemiah, but I know the works of Satan. And I know Satan tries to hinder anything that God does in our life. Satan is going to be there to fight against, to hinder, to keep from happening, and keep us from entering into what God wants us to enter into in our lives, and the blessing that He wants us to have in our lives. Satan is there to contest it. He is there to fight against it. He brings doubts. He brings fears. He brings accusations. He points his fingers at us and says, "You're not able. You're not worthy. Keep quiet. Keep still. Hush up." That's Satan trying to hinder us from doing what God wants us to do. And I believe here that Nehemiah, and a vision is, a vision, I believe, is simply put, is a mental picture. It's a mental picture of what is happening and what needs to happen, what's taking place and transpiring. And I believe a vision was born where he began to realize, and you remember Esther? When Queen Esther was, she was the king's wife. She was chosen to be the king's wife. But the people once again were going to be put to death. And Mordecai told her, "Who knows that but you are have this place for this time and this purpose to help your people? Who knows that God has called you and put you in this position?" And I believe Nehemiah recognizes this during these 4 months that he's praying, that he's seeking God. I believe he recognizes that God has had him in a place, that he put him in a place to be a help and a blessing to his favor. And when we ended it, his prayer says, "And grant him mercy in the sight of this man." In other words, in sight of the king. Grant me mercy in the sight of this king. And we know when we go and let's read chapter 2 a little bit. But it says, "And it came to pass," in verse 1, chapter 2, "It came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, 'Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart.' Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, 'Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, When the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire, then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Nehemiah is praying during this discourse. He's been praying for 4 months. Now, I believe God has given in this time, Nehemiah wasn't taken off guard, but he had seen some things that could be a help. And he's praying to God to open the door. And when the king asked him, What's your request? What can I do for you? And Nehemiah sees that this is God working in his behalf and opening a door for him. But he already has some things in mind, I believe, to ask the king. And it said, And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, and to the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah, and a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house and for the wall of the city and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Isn't that wonderful? This foreign king, he trusted, he respected, he honored Nehemiah. Nehemiah had showed, you know, respect and honor is earned. And Nehemiah had won his heart and had won his respect by the way he conducted his life. He won his confidence. And he just opened the door. He gave him these letters that when he gets back there, he's got all this timber. He can get timber and he can do things. And to me, it just stood out. It was so beautiful because this was God's plan. It had already been told to Jeremiah, foretold that they would, after 70 years captivity, they would come back and they would rebuild Jerusalem. They would rebuild the walls. They would rebuild the temple. And God had people in place in all these little different places. I like reading this also in verse. He comes back. I want to go ahead and read some more in chapter 2, verse 11. So it says, So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart. Now God and Nehemiah recognize in this 4 months of praying and seeking God, the Lord had given him and put some things in his heart. And he realized that it was from God. And he said, Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem that were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. And it goes on, it talks about where all he went. Verse 16, it says, and the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews. So he goes out at night and he's surveying all the damage that's done there, all the destruction that had occurred when they had pulled those walls down and burnt down the gates. In verse 17 it says, then said I unto them, he gathers them together. He said, then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. So he tells them how God has been talking to him, and how God has been good to him, and how God has opened the doors and provided. And he told them about the king's words that he gave to him. So he sees this as all a part that God is working. It's not just Nehemiah. It's not just Nehemiah's thoughts, but it's God working with Nehemiah and working through Nehemiah. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. That's such a wonderful verse to me. Amidst, and I believe it's applicable in our day and time, sometimes when we look around and we see so much destruction of the family, so much destruction of homes, so much unrighteousness and things going on that shouldn't be, that God wants us to still have a desire and a heart to build, to hear His voice and to build. And I believe that happened in Nehemiah's life. I believe it came to, you know, sometimes life is like a puzzle. And when we go through life, I really never cared for puzzles all that much, but I started working with some with Dad when he was in the nursing home. We got to going, and it's like I didn't want to leave. It's like let's find a few more and put a few more places, because the picture starts coming more and more complete. And I find life is like that. Sometimes when we start out, when we're so young, we don't have a clue. We think we do. And we just start going through life full speed, following our own passions, our own agenda, and our own... We don't listen and we don't pay attention and we just go. And then after a while we realize, whoa, things aren't working out too well. And we see destruction, and we see these things that we see here. And then as we seek God with all of our hearts for Him to have His will and His way in our life, He gives us these little pieces, little things start to come together. And we begin to see more of what we're here for. What we're designed for. You know, tools have a purpose. I've got a hammer. I've got a miter saw. I've got a table saw. I use them all for different things, but I don't use my miter saw like a hammer. And I can't use my hammer like a miter saw. It has a purpose. I believe today that our lives, every one of us, have a purpose for being here. For being alive in this world in this time, in this generation, now. God has a purpose for every one of our lives. And it's our highest, the highest aim in life is to be able to, Lord, help me to see my purpose. Help me to see, every one of us have different gifts. Every one of us have different abilities that the Lord wants to use through you to strengthen and help somebody else. You know, we was talking about this not too long ago. People that have gone through great difficulties, great hardships, great failures in life. That can be a tool. The devil wants to make you think there's nothing left. That's totally false. That's a lie from the pit. The experiences that we have gone through can sharpen us and help us to help others that are maybe close to the same kind of circumstances or situation. And they're there for a purpose. They're there for a reason. We can learn from our failures. We can step up out of our failures, and God can use that. And it's a marvel to me how what Satan meant to destroy a person's life, that area becomes a strong point. And that's only God can do that. Only the Lord can do that. You think about the Apostle Paul, Saul, went about destroying, and God turned it around and He turned him into a builder. He turned him into a builder. He used to be a destroyer. He used to destroy people, work havoc in people's lives, throw them into jail and prison. And the Lord turned him around that he became a builder for the Lord. And I believe today that the Lord can give us a vision and place. Sometimes it takes time to understand our place. That don't mean that we don't do nothing. That means that we do what we know at the time, but as we go along through life, we keep our eyes and our ears open. I've heard people say, just in their upper years, say this, they found a niche and they said, this was what I was created for. That's why I'm living. I found something that fits my talents that God has given to me, and this is my purpose. This is my life. The Lord wants to work through our lives. But I want to say the Lord put it in Nehemiah's heart. He laid it upon his heart. And I noticed different places he told them, this is what God has put on my heart. And that's how the Lord works. It's through the inside out. Moses had many excuses when God began to work in his life, and we can make excuses too. I've made my excuses at different times, but I do believe the Lord wants us to come to the place where we say, yes, Lord, I want you to have. We sang the songs this morning. There were some songs that brought out, you know, Brother Galen's Sunday school about the travail that Jesus, the travail of His soul, the price that He paid for us. Do we owe him anything? Has he forgiven you a great debt? Do we owe him anything? Sure we do. The least, the very least that we could do is give him our all. And put our all into his hands. And let him guide and direct us and help us. Very many of you know Sister Dorothy Kaiser. You remember her? I remember her. How old was she when she went to Ghana, Africa? I don't want to scare you off. She was up in years. Moses was 80. Faye Stewart, she had a vision of the children of India calling to her. She was on the beach and she had a picture. She saw these children and they were calling. Come and help us. You know, it was years. She didn't go right away. But that was in her heart. Just like Moses, there was something in Moses that he felt God wanted of him. But the Lord taught her, Faith Stewart, the Lord taught her lessons and prepared her for the work that He called her to do. There have been other people. And I just say that because I don't want us to just sit back and say, well, I'm getting old. There's nothing for me to do. There's something for all of us to do. There's a purpose for all of our lives. And even though that 4 months looked like nothing was happening, a vision was being born. Oh, I want to share one more thing. I about forgot. This is Adam Clark. He says, every good work is not to be taken hastily. Prayer and watchfulness are necessary to its completion. Many good works have been ruined by making haste. Nehemiah didn't make haste. He sought God. He called upon God. He prayed to God. And he looked to God to open the door. And all he did was walk through it. The Lord opened the door and he walked through. And that's what we want to do. I hope you got some good out of these thoughts. It's so inspiring and encouraging to me. And the verse it says, let us rise up and build, so they strengthen their hands for this good work. All those stones, they were ridiculed. The enemy, they said, I don't know if I can find that real quick, but he said, oh, it's in chapter 4, in verse 2. He says, will they fortify? What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? You know, all around was these heaps of stones that was just rubbish. And they began to take those stones. I'm sure they had to chisel off the old mortar that was on there, but they took those stones and they began to build. And lo and behold, it began to, people had a mind to work, and the little became, and pretty soon they got the wall completed. And they were able then to build their houses. They were able to build a temple later on. And God blessed them. Let's be encouraged today to seek the Lord, to have a mind to work and to build, and allow the Lord to work through our lives. Amen.